This is your devotion for Day 5, prepared by Brother Jack Coleman. Today's devotion, entitled, Just How Far Is That?, is based on the following scripture, Psalm 103:12, Jeremiah 31:31-37, and Hebrews 10:1-18. As far as the east is from the west. Here I am, Lord, and I'm drowning in your sea of forgetfulness. The chains of yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me, and it echoes in my mind. Keeps me awake at night. I know you've cast my sin as far as east is from the west. And I stand before you now as though I've never sinned. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. You know, I know you've washed me white, turned my darkness into light. I need your peace to get me through, to get me through this night. I can't live by what I feel, but by the truth your words reveal. I'm not holding on to you, but you're holding on to me. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? I can't bear to see the man I've become rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy, I find rest, because you know just how far the east is from the west, from one nail-scarred hand to the other. These words were written by Mark Hall of Casting Crowns, and they reflect an area of regretful weakness that I sometimes struggle with, and I don't think I'm in this boat all alone. Do you occasionally find yourself in the boat of regret with me? I think many true believers do. When I catch myself in an impulsive moment, willfully falling into sin and committing an act of transgression against God's law, it weighs upon me. Often, even after going to my Lord and asking for and receiving forgiveness for my sin, my own guilt and memory of the event disrupts my communion with Christ, which is itself a sinful lack of faith and trust in Him. But clearly, this is my own thought process. For scripture repeatedly shows that God no longer sees me in that sinful state. Psalm 103:12 states that God cast our sin as far as east is from west, and the psalmist used this word picture purposefully. You see, if you leave Chesapeake and go north to Canada, north to the Arctic, and north to the North Pole, that's as far north as you can go. At that point, to go anywhere, you must go south. North and south do meet at the poles, but if you leave Chesapeake and go east to England, east to Asia, east to Japan, east to Hawaii, east to California, and east to Chesapeake, you've circled the globe, returned to your point of origin, and have never traveled west, east and west never meet. In Jeremiah 31:31-37, God explains to us the differences between the Old Testament covenant and the New Testament covenant and how they affect the concept of personal sin. In contrast to the old Mosaic covenant under which Israel and all mankind failed to meet the righteous standards God set, God promised a new grace covenant in Christ with a divine spiritual dynamic by which those who knew Him would participate in the blessing of salvation. In principle, this new covenant of grace and righteousness are being fulfilled spiritually in Jewish and Gentile true believers in the church era, which began in the first century and continues today. When Jeremiah refers to the fact that God no longer remembers our sin, a better way to understand this would be that God chooses not to hold our sin against us, to cast them away and never bring them up again, verse 34. God is omniscient, all-knowing. Therefore, He could not forget our sins because that would imply that there's something God didn't know, which is impossible. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 10 clarifies Jeremiah's God-breathed prophecy in discussing the inadequacy of the law. The Mosaic covenant, the Old Testament law, could never lead to complete forgiveness and cleansing of sin, Hebrews 10:1-4. Old Testament sacrifices could not remove sin, and their constant repetition was a constant reminder of their deficiency. The promise of the new covenant of grace was that sin would be removed and cast away, and God would not remember our transgressions, Jeremiah 31-34. Then Christ fulfilled the will of his Father. He provided for the true believer a continuing permanent condition of holiness once and for all, Hebrews 10:10. As the old and new covenants are contrasted, we see thousands of priests versus one priest. The old priests continually standing unfinished work versus the new priest sitting completely finished work at the right hand of the Father. Repeated offerings versus a once and for all offering, and ineffective sacrifices that only cover sin versus the effective sacrifice that completely removes the cast away sin, Hebrews 10:11-13. True believers stand perfected before God in the righteousness of Christ, Hebrews 10:14. If I allow my own guilt and regret over my past forgiven sin to prevent me from living in light relationship with my Heavenly Father, it is as if I were requiring repeated sacrifice by Christ for sin. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary, Hebrews 10:18. Does God's grace-energized forgiveness of our sin give us license to sin willfully, knowing that God will always forgive? Surely not. No true believer would think such a thing, Romans 6. As new creations in Christ, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and this indwelling of the Holy Spirit would rebel at such a thought. But when we do stumble into sin and then humbly go to God asking for forgiveness, He will forgive and never bring it up against us anymore. We may not be able to forget, but forgiveness is not contingent on forgetting. It is about putting it in the past, as God has done, and casting our sin an infinite distance from Himself and His children. This concludes your devotion for day 5.